continue our series, the 3-in-1. Now today, how many is excited about the word of the Lord? Come on now, you got to be excited. Remember what we teach you all the time, that the word of God says those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now we just engaged our spirits in worship, had a time of saying, yeah, we're engaging our spirits in worship. Now we open up the word of the Lord and we worship him now through the truth of scripture. So I hope that you're ready. So many of you are growing and learning what the role of the Trinity is in your life. We spent the first two-thirds of this series talking about who the Son is, and then we just finished up the Holy Spirit. Last week, we started the last third of this series on God the Father. We talked about the goodness of our Father last week, and today I am really, really excited to talk about the Father is just and merciful. The Father is just and merciful. Today, we're talking about the attributes of the Father. When we talk about the attributes of the Father, are we talking about things he does? No. We're not talking about things he does. We're talking about who he is. The attributes are just who he is. So when we say the Father is good, it's just that's who he is. He's good. When we say he's just a just God. When we say he's merciful, he is just a merciful God. All three that we see are attributes or characteristics of who God is. See, if we describe the Father as having goodness or having mercy or having justice, if he has it, then he can lose it. See, that's why we don't say, oh, the Father has mercy or the Father has goodness. He doesn't have it because if he has it, he can lose it. But it just is. That's who he is. The Father is good. He is merciful, and he is justice. It's who he is. It's his attributes. It's everything about him. It just makes up who he is. And this is important to know because these things don't change about the Father. Let me give you a few things here that I want you to see. Let's give some definitions. First of all, let's give the definition of justice. Justice is giving us what we deserve. That's why we use terms as justice served. When someone receives a punishment that fits the crime, we say justice served. And so today, justice is when we get the punishment that we deserve. That's justice. If someone doesn't get punished for a crime, then that's called what? They didn't get justice, was not served. We look at the word mercy today. What's the definition of mercy? Mercy is more compassion, right? Not getting what we deserve. How many are thankful that many times we don't get what we really deserve? How many are thankful for the mercy of the Lord? Amen. Justice is getting what we deserve, but mercy is not getting what we deserve. For example, how many of you have children here or teenagers? Raise your hand if you had kids and teenagers. Okay. You can understand what I'm about to tell you. How many of you ever had one of your children break out a window in your house on accident? Anybody? Okay. Yeah, lots of you here. You know, it's when they do those things that we were like, oh, you know, we get really mad. Believe it or not, as a father, I can get really mad. And I'm a shocker to you guys. I know. Pastor Gene, yeah. My kids are like, Dad, we could have told you that a long time ago. Sometimes I had those dad moments, you know, and I want to blow up. Things happen in our house, you know. I don't know about you, but sometimes things get broken in our house, such as windows. I won't call out any names, Preston, Landon. But anyway, when things can happen and windows get broken, you know, I get mad and upset, and I'm ready to go and bring punishment, you know. I'm ready to bring the thunder. You know what I'm talking about, Darren? I'm ready to bring the dad thunder. And then as I'm going, I remember the time when I threw a ball through my parents' window. I remember throwing a rock through the principal's window. I remember breaking lots of windows growing up. And I remember all of a sudden, I began to kind of calm down a little bit and realize, you know what? I remember breaking windows as a kid. Or I remember the time that I put a hole in my dad's wall. I remember the time I put a dent in my dad's car. I remember the time I burned a hole in our carpet. I remember the time that I set my yard on fire. I remember the time, come on, don't look at me like I'm the only one. You know what I'm talking about. We actually played outside growing up, so we had a lot of things that got broken, okay? And so I remember those things, and it causes me to, Jim, it causes me to act in mercy sometimes. Not all the time. Sometimes justice does get served. But many times it causes me to act more merciful because I remember that I did some of the same stupid things when I was growing up. I made some of the same stupid mistakes growing up. And so it allows me to flow in mercy. It allows me to say, you know what? I'm not going to punish you as bad as I could because I'm going to show you mercy. Why? Because I remember what it is to make a mistake. Now, for fun, let me give you a bonus definition today. We're not going to talk about it, but it really sums up really everything that the Father is. Grace. Grace is when we get what we don't deserve. All right. Justice is giving us what we deserve. Mercy is not getting what we deserve, but grace goes beyond that and we receive the very thing we don't even deserve. That's grace. We shouldn't receive the mercy of the Lord, but we get it. Why? Because it's grace. We don't belong to walk with the Holy Spirit and receive the Holy Spirit, but we get it. Why? Because of grace. We don't deserve forgiveness, but we get it because of grace. We don't deserve to walk and talk with the Lord the way He designed it to happen. Why? But we can because of grace. We get so much more than what we deserve because of God's grace. So today I want to focus in on the two attributes we're talking about of justice and mercy. God is, the Father is, full of mercy and full of justice all at the same time. The two are polar opposites. Isn't that so true? I mean, how can they coexist? Let's look at this today. The scripture gives us several examples of how the two coexist at the same time. Just to prove our point today, let's quickly look at a few of these scriptures and point it out, talking about the attributes of God. Psalms 89, verse 14. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face. So describing God, the psalmist said, justice and mercy are found there when talking about the Father. Psalms 101, verse 1 has it out again. I will sing of the mercy and justice to you, O Lord. I will sing your praises. I'm praising you, God. I'm singing to you because of your mercy and your justice. They're coexisting together. Look what Isaiah says in chapter 30, verse 18. Therefore, the Lord will wait that he may be gracious to you, and therefore he will be exalted, that he may have mercy on you. But the God is a God of justice. The Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are those who wait for him. So we see mercy and justice here, evident, and also again, Hosea 2:19. I will betroth to you me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and in what? Justice, in loving kindness and in mercy. So we see where justice and mercy are coexisting at the same time. And we really have a hard time computing this, don't we? Come on, guys. Men, look at me today. I'm talking to you that we really have a hard time understanding this thing because we do not function this way in our brain. Guys, ladies, in case you didn't know this, I'm sure you do. And guys, we can tell you this, that guys' brain in our mind is everything has compartments, right? We have a compartment. We have our work compartment. And then when we're doing our job, we're thinking about our job. When we have our family compartment, when we're talking about our kids, doing kids is right there. We're paying bills. We have our bill department right here. When we're doing our hobbies, we have our hobby department right here. When I'm watching a game, I got that big compartment right there. And I don't want to talk about bills. I don't want to talk about my job. I want to watch the game. Let me put that compartment away and I'll bring that compartment out and talk to you when that time is ready. And so we don't coexist. Our brains are put in compartments. We deal with stressful issues that way because we only bring them out and deal with them as they need to. That's why, ladies, you can be in a big heated argument with your husband, you know, with your spouse. And then you're like, there ain't no way he would not even think about hugging on me tonight. We just had this big argument, been going on all day. And then 15 minutes later, he's like, Marvin Gaye, come on now. He's right there. Boom, boom, boom. Ow. Wait, she's like, wait, time out. What are you doing? 15 minutes ago, we were arguing. Yeah, but that's a different compartment now. I put that all, that's in the back of my mind right now. Hallelujah. And ladies, you're like, no time and no way. It ain't happening. Why? Because your compartments all run together. There's no separation, ladies. It's like a big rat's nest all up in there. Everything's touching everything. All your wires are connecting. You don't separate at all. It's working. But guys, they're separated. So we have a hard time understanding this principle because we think, how can mercy and justice exist at the same time. If God is fully mercy and fully justice, how can they exist at the same time? Only thing I can tell you is this. Because God is that good. We can't comprehend that. We can't comprehend how the two can coexist at the same time. But our Father is so good that He allows it to happen, and He can make it happen, and He does let it happen. Today, let's talk about the scales of justice. Now, many people know that when you go into a courtroom, that oftentimes you see a picture or you see the scales of justice there. Sometimes on a picture, sometimes you'll actually see the scales sitting there on the side, such as this right here. And it represents our justice system, our court system, that we have the scales of justice. And let's imagine today this platform is a great big scale. And today we think about the scales here. And on one side, we see the justice system as this. On one side, we have the prosecutors, and on one side, we have the defendants. And we put all the evidence on both sides, let them speak their case, present their case. And then we look back and we see which one, okay? All right, this one did a better job of proving their point, and so this must be the who actually wins the case. Justice must be served. But that's not really the way our justice system runs and is set up. Our justice system is really set up this way, where both sides are put on the same side. We have the prosecutors, we have the defendants, and they both bring their case. They both bring their arguments. They both bring their evidence, and they argue the case. And on the other side is justice. So if you have somebody who is up for trial for attempted murder or for murder, then the justice says, all right, murder is either death, put to death, or serving life in prison. And so over here, we have the case being battled out. And when it all gets done, we look at the evidence presented, the evidence defended, and we look and say, all right, is there enough pro or con to justify the justice of blocking somebody away for the rest of their life or putting somebody to death through legal injection? Is there really enough evidence there left over to outweigh the justice? And that's how justice is served. And so what I want you to get at today is it really affects the way we see God when it comes to justice and mercy. Now, I need someone to help me here. Come here, Pastor Mike. Come and give me a hand. Pastor Jeff, come and give me a hand. Let's say Pastor Mike is God. God is right here on this part of the scale. And when God steps on the scale, how many know that we don't do much to move it? So at the top of the scale, we're over here. And God steps on the scale over here. It's like, justice must be served. And so we live all of our life trying to change that. All right? I got to do enough good. I've got to do enough good in my life to help outweigh all the bad I've done. And we just keep trying to do good, good, good. I'm trying to outweigh all the bad I've done in my life, hoping. We're jumping up and down. We're doing everything we can to try to move that scale. There you go, Pastor Jeff. Moving that scale. But that scale ain't budging, right? The scale's not budging because Scripture is very clear. It says that for the wages of sin is death. It says for all have sinned. Every one of us have sinned and we fall short of the glory of God. Because God is full. Listen to me now. Look at this first point here. God is fully, we realize this, fully, completely justice. God is fully, completely justice. Because God is fully justice, He is here. And justice must be served. Because He's a just God. There's no way around it. He must serve justice. Justice must be served. And as much as we try to change that, there's nothing we can do. We can't do enough good on our own. We can't do anything to change that. But because He is fully justice, but also fully merciful, He had a plan. And His plan was this. Come here, Corey. He sent His Son, Jesus. And He looks at His Son and says, Jesus, come here. And He looks at His Son and says, justice must be served. So He sentenced His Son to death. He sentenced His Son to the cross. It says that He took the weight of the sin upon the cross. He took the weight of all the sins of the world to the cross. Why? Because God is full of justice. He must serve justice, and justice must be served. And justice was served. And then, this is the cool part, is this. Not only was justice served, and then he says, now, Anybody who believes in that justice, anybody believes in my son Jesus and what he did on the cross, he goes, now my son is going to step on the scale with them. And look what happens to the scale when they step on it together. It evens out. And now the Father looks at it as justice has been served. Come on, that should get you really, really excited today. Because God is full of justice. Justice must be served. But he looks at us now when you're connected to his son Jesus and says, justice has been served because he's so merciful. He had a plan. He's fully justice, but he had a plan as well. And his plan was this. He would send his son that you and I could walk into mercy. And now he looks at us the same way he looks at his son. Thank you, guys. Give you guys a hand. Appreciate you helping me out. See, this is why I don't want you to believe the false teaching. I don't want you to believe the baloney out there that says all roads lead to heaven. That is not true. That's a lie. That's what Satan wants you to believe. All roads lead to heaven. Because if all roads led to heaven, then our Father is a cruel God. He's a cruel Father that he would make his son go through the justice for you and I. No, there's only one way that justice could be served. There's only one way we can receive that mercy. It's through his son, Jesus. Don't get confused. There's only one way. We must understand there's only one way, and that's through his son, Jesus. And he provided the way. Fully justice. He provided the way out through his son, Jesus, that you and I can walk in that. What an awesome thing. See, we can never do enough good on our own to move the scales. It's only when Jesus stands on my side that the scale move and justice has been served. Jesus took that justice. So the Father, full of justice, looks at his son and says, justice must be served. And he sentences him to the cross for you and I to stand in our place. But the great news is this, that when we accept the mercy of our Father and Jesus gets on our side of the scale and it evens out, now he looks at us and says, and now I sentence you to heaven. What an awesome thing. We've been sentenced to heaven. Mercy. I'm not that good. You're not that good. But our Father, he is just that good. He says, if it wasn't so, I wouldn't tell you. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you can be also. In my Father's house are many mansions, man. I'm coming back for this church. He says, I have sentenced you to spend eternity with me in heaven. Wow, this is what we get. This blows our mind, because you and I, we can understand justice. We can understand mercy. But man, grace says, I've been sentenced for the very thing I don't even deserve. Eternity with the Father. Eternity. But I got to realize he is full of justice. He's full of justice, and he's also completely full of mercy. The Father is completely merciful. He is so merciful. See, if God has no beginning and no ending, that means his goodness has no beginning and no ending. That means his judgment has no beginning and no ending. And that means his mercy has no beginning and no ending. Let me put it to you another way. His mercy will not decrease and his mercy will not increase. It's just who he is. It's there for you and I. And his mercy is there. It overwhelms us. Look what Psalms 136 says. Let's just read the first three verses, because this pattern is found for 26 verses in this chapter of 136. The same line is found. I'm going to read the white part, then I want you to read the yellow part out loud with me, okay? Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Now, we're going to do this again, because you can do this a lot louder than that. I know you. I sat next to you at the games on Friday night. I've heard you, okay? Let's do this again. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Oh, give thanks to God of gods. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords. 23 more verses, we see the same pattern over and over again. It says it. His mercies endure forever. His mercy endures forever. His mercy endures forever. My mercy has a limit. My mercy is limited. But the Father's mercy is not limited. Why? Because He's just that good. We can't comprehend it. How does it coexist with justice? At some point, justice has got to kick in here. You know, at some point, I'm just not good enough. At some point, I've done too many bad things. At some point, no, because His love for us is this, that His mercy endures forever. Justice was served to His one and only Son, that you and I can experience mercy beyond belief. Mercy with no limits. He says, His mercy endures forever. His mercy endures forever. Mercy is not battling justice. They're not there fighting. Mercy and justice are not fighting. They are coexisting. They are who God is. Fully mercy and fully justice. And both have been served to us. Jesus received the justice and we received the mercy. Why? Because He's just that good. It changes everything about us. It changes everything. See, when you understand how much mercy has been given to you and I, just how good the Father really is, it'll change the way you worship. That's why you can't help but come in and say, man, God, you're so good. Some of you say, man, I've never lifted my hands in worship before. I've never emotionally got into a song and worship. What is it? Because we're having an understanding of how big God's mercy really is. I'll never, never apologize that we say, come on, lift your hands up. Come on, declare out of your mouth. Come on, let's just give the praises to God. Why? Because His mercy endures forever. We didn't deserve it. We didn't earn it. We received it through the justice served by His Son Jesus. It changes the way I worship. God, You have taken my justice. You've taken me in the foolish manner I am. You've taken me for my limited love. You've taken me for the many mistakes in my life. You've taken me for the mess I am. And You've given me nothing but mercy. You've flooded my life with Your goodness. You've flooded my life with Your mercy. It changes me. And I can't help but say, God, I've got to worship You. God, I got to sing Your praise. God, I'm going to lift my hands and worship. I don't care who likes it. I don't care who doesn't. I'm going to let You know, God, You are worthy. God, I'm going to praise You. It changes the way we talk to Him. It changes the way I walk with Him. It changes the way I love others. It changes the way I begin to show grace to other people, that the people that I need to show mercy to, I couldn't do it on my own. But when I understand His mercy endures in my life forever and ever. And the more I understand that, the more I can forgive people who don't deserve it. The more I can show grace to people who didn't ask for it. The more I can show forgiveness to others. Why? Because I'm overwhelmed with the mercy the Father has given me. It changes everything about me. It changes the way I live. It changes the way I love. How can it be? How can it be? The Father so full of mercy and yet so full of justice at the same time. I'm telling you, you can't wrap your mind around it. But I can tell you the only reason it can happen is because the Father is just that good. We can never fully comprehend how good He is. That's what He told Moses. Remember last week, Moses, I'll pass by you. I'm going to cover you up and let you just get a glimpse of who I am. You can't see me for the fullness of who I am, but I'll show you partially. It says that when He revealed Himself for all of His goodness. Are you catching it now? Is that making more sense to you now? Keeping last week's sermon in the mind. Now as we hear about the mercy and justice. Wow, this is overwhelming. God, you're so good that You allow justice to be served to Your Son. You allow mercy to be served to us. And all who believe in Your Son steps on our part of the scale and justice is served. You're just that God. I can't understand it. We don't deserve it. But God, we understand today. You're fully mercy. You're fully justice. I want to close with this story. It's a story of a orphanage. At the end of World War One, we see where the U.S. was helping Europe reestablish and get up there and get the economic moving back there. And one of the things they did was they established a lot of orphanages for those kids who lost both parents because of casualties of the war there. And so the U.S. was funding these orphanages, helping them get set up. And it was a bad economic time. You couldn't get jobs there because everything was destroyed, and coming back and rebuilding the economy. And many people were just struggling just to survive day to day, living day to day, trying to feed their children. And we had orphanages set up, and there was a story of a father who walked into one of those orphanages, and he says he brought his little daughter in. His wife had been killed in the war. And he brought his daughter in, and they were both skin and bones, they said, and both very malnourished. And it says that he looked at it and said, "Listen, I've tried. I can't feed her. I can't find food. I can't find work. It's scarce. You know, there's nothing out here for me to do. As much as it pains me, I want to give my daughter to you. So at least, you know, I don't care about myself, but I want my daughter to be taken care of." And so he brought his daughter in and tried to give her to the orphanage to take care of. And he said, "Sir, we understand, and we're heartbroken to tell you this, but there's a policy. It's hard. There's a lot of casualties of war. And the policy simply is this. If one of the parents is alive, we cannot take that child in. It's got to stay with that parent because we've got so many other kids who have lost both parents. And so we're not allowed to take your daughter as much as it hurts us to do this. We can't take her." He said, "So you're telling me that my daughter's going to die because I'm still alive?" She said, "I'm sorry. I wish we could do something. We can't." It says the man took his daughter's hand and said, "Come here." And he asked the director of that orphanage to open up her hand. And he took his daughter's hand and he laid it in the hand of the director of that orphanage. He says, "Honey, everything's going to be okay. Stay here." It says that he left that orphanage, went out and took his own life. Very tragic, I know. But he understood that in order for his daughter to live, he had to give up his own life. And if you think about it, that's really the way the Father looked at us. It's the same thing that happens. He called the Son, Jesus. He says, there's no other way. Justice must be served. And so, Son, in order for them to live, you got to die. Son, in order for them to live, you've got to die. There's no other way around it. You've got to die. His Son died, and now he takes our hand. And he puts it in the hand of his Son and says, "Justice served. All who believe in the power of the cross are saved. All who believe in the power of his mercy are saved. All believe in the power of his justice are saved." He's fully justice. He's also fully merciful. I want you to bow your heads this morning, and I just want to ask you this question. We won't do anything to single anybody out today. We won't do anything to embarrass you, I promise you. But I want to make sure you have a chance to respond to today's message. If you hear it, say, "Pastor, I've never prayed a prayer asking Jesus Christ to be Lord of my life. I've never accepted that the Father sent his Son Jesus to die for me. And today, I'm ready to give my life to Jesus. I'm ready to accept this mercy that God gave to me." Nobody's looking at me right now, but if you want to pray that prayer, can you just raise your hands? That's me. I'm ready to accept Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Raise it high. Thank you, guys. Several hands going across the building. Anybody else want to join me? Say, "Yeah, it's me, man. I'm ready. Today's my day. I'm ready to receive the mercy of the Lord." Thank you, guys. If you raised your hands, you can put it down. I just want to ask you one more time. If you didn't raise it and you know you need to, I want to give you an extra chance today. Say, "Pastor, I'm ready to receive Jesus." If you didn't raise it and you're ready, just raise your hand right now. That's me. Thank you. Yeah. Okay. Let's do this. We're going to pray this prayer out loud. If you raised your hands, I want you to pray this prayer out loud. And as Christians sitting around you, we'll say it out loud with you to help you along. Say, "Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I surrender all of my life to you. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. From this day forward, I will live for you. I will follow after you in Jesus' name." If you prayed that prayer for the first time, you say, "Welcome to the family of God." Come on, give a hand clap. Exciting, man. This is why we're here. This is why we do what we do. So people make life-changing decisions for Jesus. I'm going to invite you to stay on your feet today. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, and just a minute after we dismiss, I'm going to invite you to stop by our Welcome Center. We got a free Bible. We would love to give this to you. Inside that Bible is some more information on next steps, things. How many today would just look at me and say, Pastor, man, I really struggle with letting God's mercy flow in my life. Anybody here? I've done that before. Anybody else here? Raise your hands. I have a hard time letting God's mercy flow in my life. Raise your hand, but Jesus, that's me. Yeah. See, that's normal. Satan wants to attack your mind. He wants you to doubt God's mercy for your life. Today, I want you to be free in God's mercy. We're going to close with this song. I'm letting you out a few minutes early today, so I want to give you plenty of time. I invite you, if you want to step out of your seat and come to the front and worship with us in this last song, say, God, I want to walk into your new mercies. God, I want to experience your mercies. What did he tell the psalmist? Remember we talking about who Jesus was, the great shepherd? He says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I'm telling you, his mercy, his goodness, you can't outrun it. He wants you to experience it. He wants you to live it. Yeah, scoot in, guys, making room for those coming in. And I want you just to say, God, today, I want to flood myself in your mercies. Your mercies are new every morning for me. Your mercies are new every day for me. I want you to lift your hands right now. I want to pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that, God, you're allowing mercy to flow in this house this morning. Lord, I come against every thought that tries to bind us, every thought that tries to discourage us and tell us we're not good enough, and tell us that God's mad at us, and tell us that God's justice is going to be served in our life. And God, I pray right now that your mercy would flood the mind of every believer, the heart of every believer today. God, may your mercy flood them of how much you love them, how good you really want to be to them as our Father today. God, I pray there's a freedom right now. That God, there's some people's lives that are being set free. God, I pray for freedom in the name of Jesus. May they experience your mercy fresh and anew. Come on, let's declare it in song today. This love is great.
For now my soul sees your love and knows no end. Your love and knows no end. Your love and knows no end. For now my soul.
You one more time. I'll get you to lift your hands. I want to pray for you. Father, I pray for every person in the building today. That God, your mercy would flood us from our mind to our heart to our spirit. May today, may we be overwhelmed that you are fully justice. But God, you are also fully merciful. God, may your mercy be new every morning to us. God, may your mercy be revealed to us every day as we fall more and more in love with you. Deeper in our understanding, deeper in our relationship with you. But God, you are so good. You are so good. We could never deserve the mercy you've given us. But God, today we declare your goodness. We declare your mercy, and we receive it now. In Jesus' name we say amen. Put your hands together and bless the Lord one more time. Can we do that? God bless you. Let me remind you quickly before you leave today, two things. Number one, if you haven't signed up for KidFest, make sure you stop by the Welcome Center and do that. Number two, we hope to see you tonight at the bonfire. God bless you. Turn to somebody and say, it was good to be with you today. God bless you.